earth, and sky.
Often the ecological perspective is not particularly meaningful to a lot of people, but human health is, and there's an influence on human health as well, and that may be the absolute driver for making changes in management that will occur at the scales that are necessary.
You're listening to marine biologist Felicia Coleman of Florida State University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Coleman's research focuses on the ecology of reef fishes, but she's also interested in how the data collected by scientists fit into decisions made by policymakers. Earth Sky's Jeremy Scheer talked with Coleman about how the management of rivers and other waterways affects ocean life and about the role of science in the 21st century.
You know, one of the things that happened a few years ago is that both the U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy and the Pew Oceans Commission came to nearly identical conclusions about the state of the oceans and coastal zones, and that is that they're in trouble.
Let's get more specific. Can you give me a specific example of a particular problem and the type of policy that you'd like to see to address that problem?
Well, the Apalachicola-Chattahoochee-Flint watershed, that's called the ACF, it's occurs in the southeastern United States, and it's a pretty clear case in point. This is the second largest river system that goes into the Gulf of Mexico. And one of the issues is that the Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for dams along the Chattahoochee River that take that store about 60% of the water in that watershed. And now that there's been a drought for a number of years, there's been more retention of water in the upper reaches along the Chattahoochee, which means that there's less water delivery downstream into the Apalachicola River. And one of the foci, I think, of concern has been how does that affect the Apalachicola Bay, where there's an important oyster industry and a number of endangered species. And my concern is that we're being very short-sighted of how we view watersheds, because any river is tightly linked to marine sources that extend far offshore.
Can we talk about how management or mismanagement of waterways has affected fisheries?
In this case, when you inhibit the flow of fresh water down to the estuary, it's not just the estuary that's impacted. The floodplains along the area aren't getting sufficient water, so you have decline in the whole forest base of that area. You have far too much influence of saltwater intrusion into the bay, and so there are declines for the fisheries that depend on those bays for their livelihood. And then offshore, we really don't know what the influences are. But if the nutrients do serve as the base for fueling the food web, and you have fisheries that are dependent on that fueling to have high productivity, when you cut off the flow, you face the possibility of there being some significant negative effects on recruitment of young fish into the population.
So it seems like part of the lesson here is that waterways are ultimately connected, and that what we do locally can have very widespread effects.
I think that's absolutely the case. And in fact, the Joint Ocean Commission just released a set of priorities for the whoever is the incoming administration. And top among the priorities was examining watersheds and trying to understand the connectivity among the systems and managing it in a realistic way. And it may be that often the ecological perspective is not particularly meaningful to a lot of people, but human health is, and there's an influence on human health as well, and that may be the absolute driver for making changes in management that will occur at the scales that are necessary.
Let's switch gears for a moment here, and I want to ask you some questions about science more generally. Why is science important in the 21st century?
It relates in some respects to how much humans are affecting ecosystems at every level, affecting a change in climate and things like that. If we don't understand how the systems work, if we don't understand our influence upon them or how personally, individually, our behaviors affect that, then we can never affect change. And science provides the information, the understanding of how those things work. It's become more and more critical as the human population has grown. And I know it's something that people often don't like to talk about, just human population, as if that problem didn't exist and wasn't at the root of all these other problems. But it absolutely is.
Why is it important that regular people out there, non-scientists, learn about science, be taught about science, and understand what's going on in the scientific world?
If they understand at a basic level how their behavior influences an ecological system, if without that information, they can't make rational choices about their behavior. And let me just use a fisheries example. When you're managing fisheries, you're not really managing fish populations. The fish are just doing whatever it is the fish do. What you're trying to influence is the behavior of the fishermen in order to have a result on fish populations. And it's not just fishermen. I guess we've always thought that fishing was really the only or the biggest problem that impacted populations, but it's not. Pollution and everything else also influences populations of fish. But ultimately, it comes back to human behavior. And so you can't make rational decisions without scientific information about how your behavior is going to affect those systems.
That was marine biologist Felicia Coleman, director of the Florida State University Coastal and Marine Laboratory. We'd like to thank Dr. Coleman for giving her time to serve on EarthSky's Global Science Advisory Council. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird for EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.